Good morning. The 10 of us who did make it out of bed. Yes, it was rough this morning, eh? It was rough. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody walks in here while I'm talking this morning. Ah, everybody is early here this morning. Well, I have been dealing with one sermon of series, which I have entitled Build a Base, or Live a Bible-Based Life. And I've been really trying to just remind us, for most of us, this is nothing new. We know the Bible is powerful. We know the Bible is applicable. But for many people that I meet, even though they might say they believe that to be true, they don't actually live as if it's true. They don't read the Bible. We have had some guests that's been here over the last couple of weeks that's listened to these lessons, and they honestly tell me, I do not see myself, or I do not see my partner. I cannot even imagine my partner actually reading the Bible. And this is a struggle for me, because I have found in my own life and seen it in the lives of other people that when you get into the text that the Holy Spirit wrote, it changes you. My words don't change people. The Word of God does. Your words don't change people. The Word of God does. And if people don't get into it, they will not experience that. And it's interesting to see how the same people who never get into the Word have the same problems. Year after year after year. The same struggle with faith. Faith comes through what? Hearing the Word of God. Once again, the Word of God comes into play. So what I thought to do in sort of the second half of this series is to use some practical examples to share with us those scriptures that I have come across in my years in ministry that people most commonly needed to read to apply to their lives. You see over here a statement that I've made a few times. A Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. And I like that. And I think it is true. That hence the reason for this series. But I've entitled sort of the second half of this series, The Most Scribbled Pages. Now, sorry, that's the transfer from PowerPoint to the system that we use. So the D is not supposed to be on the fourth line. Sorry about that. But The Most Scribbled Pages. If I go and I ask myself the question, okay, Michiel, you've been in ministry for a number of years and you've had Bible studies with people. What are the key passages of Scripture that you usually bring up in studies with people? Now, let me just say this. Usually when I study the Bible with people, I start with where they are at. So what's happening in your life? How do you feel? What's going on? What are you struggling with? What is your battle? And then I go to certain passages of Scripture to help them through it. So those are the passages of Scripture that have come up most in my personal experience. And I thought, well, let's do it at a very base level and say, okay, let's show practical examples of how the Bible is applicable, how certain scriptures can be applied to our lives. I've entitled this lesson for the first one for this morning, Why Worry? Because when I deal with people, this is one of the key things that always comes up. In a quick conversation with somebody, you quickly pick up, well, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that, I'm worried about the future, I'm worried about money, I'm worried about this, that, and the other thing, worried about my children, worried about tomorrow, worried about medical, worried about the house, worry, 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 worry. And you can pause for a moment and just think about that. At this moment, you're worried about something. Let me guarantee you, you're worried about something. It's a thing of life, right? I read this week, and I found it quite amusing, is this person writes and says, in life, there are only two things to worry about, whether you are healthy or whether you are sick. If you're healthy, there's nothing to worry about. But if you're sick, there's only two things to worry about. You're either going to get well or you're going to die. If you're going to get well, you've got nothing to worry about. If you're going to die, you've only got two things to worry about. Either you're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. If you go to heaven, you've got nothing to worry about. If you go to hell, you're going to be so busy shaking all of your friends' hands when you get there, you're not going to have time to worry. And I found that pretty interesting. The point is this. If you worry, you die. If you don't worry, you also die. So why worry? What's the worst possible thing to happen? Potentially to die. Now, Jesus, in his wisdom, dealt with this topic. And I think he dealt with it pretty well. And I want us to look at what he says today. I came across this proverb, which I really found interesting. Worry weighs a person down. Proverbs 12:25. An encouraging word cheers a person up. And I hope that this morning, if you are weighed down by worries, that hopefully at the end of this, you will be cheered up a little bit. That whatever is going to be said by Jesus will help us move on. So pause for a moment and just think, what are you worried about? Take a moment to think about it. What are you worried about? Are you worried about the future? Are you worried about money? Are you worried about needs being met? Maybe a business? Maybe a relationship that you are worried about? Told you. So, the official text, who'd like to guess where it is? You can just give the chapter. Jesus talks about it. Matthew chapter 6. Thank you, my brother. That's what we're going to deal with. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. But you will soon see when we get to that text, it starts with the word therefore. And whenever you read that word, what must you do? Go to the verses prior to that. If you ignore the words prior to that, you're going to get yourself into trouble. And the key verse before we get to the text that deals about worry is the following verse. Verse 25. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So this is verse 24 of Matthew chapter 6. Jesus speaks about money before he speaks about worry. Why do you think that is? I think because money and worry is interrelated. Most people in the world believe money will take our worries away. So the more money I have, the less I will worry. Jesus starts his conversation on worry with talking about these two gods in our lives. Either God will take away your worries, or money will take away your worries. And we need to pick which one it is. If you believe money is the solution to your worries, what will you do? You will serve it. If you believe God is the solution to your worries, you will serve Him. And you can practically look at it in your life. Which one is it that you are a slave to? Fresh out of business school, the young man answered a want ad for an accountant. Now he was being interviewed by a very nervous man who ran a small business that he had started himself. I need someone with an accounting degree, the man said, but mainly I'm looking for someone to do my worrying for me. Excuse me, the accountant said. I worry about a lot of things, the man said, but I don't want to have to worry about money. Your job will be to take all the money worries off my back. I see, the accountant said. And how much does this job pay? $80,000, the accountant exclaimed. How can such a small business afford a sum of money like that? That, the owner said, is your worry. A second thought is this. Most of us struggle to believe faith in God can take away our worries. What you're telling me is that I just got to believe in him and then the worries are going to go away. That's unreasonable. If you believe God has got this, that he is in control, that he will work it out, that the future is secure, then you will serve him, not money. You'll become a slave to him. Everybody get this? If you believe money will solve your worries, then you're going to serve money. If you believe God is going to solve your worries, then you're going to serve God. But you can't serve both. We'll talk about that next. You see, we have to choose who we will become slaves to. Which master will we serve? Look at the verses before this money text. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's in the same context of the whole passage over there. If money is your master, what will it tell you? What will your master tell you? Your master will tell you, work on storing things up on earth. Collect more and more grain to put in your barns, because then it will be okay for years to come and you can just relax. Maybe we could say it's sort of like the an overgrown form of retirement. If God is your master, what will he tell you? Store things up in heaven. Do you see the two masters disagree? The money master says, store on earth. The God master says, store in heaven. It's two different things, two different places. They contradict each other. Now let's pause here for a moment and ask a personal question. Do you trust money or God with your worries? Now, let's be real with each other. Because when you come to a church and you listen to a lesson like this, obviously the preacher is going to say, guys, we need to trust God. Money means nothing. Let's be real. Let's be real. Does money take away our worries? Okay, let's pause for a moment, because we want to say, no, money doesn't, because we're in a church now. We need to be honest now. But doesn't money take away some of our worries? We've got a young man in South Africa that's got cancer. He's 18 years old. Shame, he had in his knee. It's metastasized to his lungs, and they're asking for money on Facebook. Because he's gonna, it's over. They've tried everything. He's gonna die, and they just want to have some money to give him a nice rest of his life, whether it's a few months and maybe let him just experience a few things. I think most reasonable and rational people would say yes, money does indeed take care of some of our worries. Because if I have money, then I can fix my car. It's broken and I'm worried about it. Or if I have money, then I can fix the house where it's leaking at the moment and the rain is coming, for example. But listen to this text. That's not the way that I wanted it. I wanted us to look at the second verse first. Look at Proverbs 18:11 at the bottom. It says, the wealth of the rich is their fortified city. Let's read it together. They imagine it a wall too high to scale. That's the problem. Do you see that? They imagine. It's interesting that the Proverbs writer says that. After he said the first verse, look at the first verse in chapter 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. It's not an imagination that God will protect you. It's a fact. And what's interesting, the name of the Lord is not wealth. It's not something. It's not a possession. When you trust in the name of the Lord, you're guaranteed safety. But if you put all of your trust in money, you're going to be disappointed. Because you think that if you have unlimited wealth, it's going to take care of all your worries. It's a mistake. That's an imagination. Money can take care of some of our worries. It cannot take care of all of our worries. God is a much better option than money. Remember the story in the book of Luke chapter 12. This man, and it's interesting when you go read that passage over there, I will store up in my barns. The word my and I is all over that text. And then God answers him. Now he stored up his barns full of stuff because the crops had been so incredible that he's going to sit back and relax for the rest of his life. And what does God say to him? You fool. Why? Because this very night, God will demand your soul from you. All of the storing of wealth and all of the money and this nice, and then tonight you die. You idiot. Mampara. What if you died tonight? What have you done? Your wealth couldn't protect you from meeting God. Your wealth couldn't keep you from the grave. You imagined it could protect you from all things. It cannot. So money takes care of some worries, but not all. And money often creates more worries. But God can eliminate all of it. Money mostly buys stuff that we worry about. Like some of you said maybe, yeah, there's something I'm worried about. Let me ask you, what that thing you're worried about, did you pay for it? What if you never had the money? Maybe you never have bought it. This is a struggle for me. Because you know there's three things in my life that must always work. Car, phone, and wife. The only one that got for free is the wife. The other two I had to buy. The more money, the more worry of stuff being stolen or destroyed. That's what Jesus tells us. When you don't have money, you worry about getting it. When you have money, you worry about losing it. So whether you have money or not, worry remains. It's actually not the best option to get rid of the worries. It often gives you more worries. And then thirdly, money cannot create real love. It cannot give life after death. It cannot fill the emptiness in your heart. And it cannot prevent death. I'm just pointing out some things where money falls short. This billionaire, Steve Jobs, it goes around the internet, some of the last words that he said. Some say he did say it. Some say he didn't. For a fact, we know that his last words on his deathbed was this. Oh, well. Oh, well. Oh, wow. I don't know what he saw, what he experienced, but you can go research that. That seems to be legit. But here's an excerpt of something that he wrote on his deathbed. And we don't know how true it is. He's 56 years old. He dies of pancreatic cancer. He's a billionaire. He's got unlimited money. He says this, I reached the pinnacle of success in the business world. In others' eyes, my life is an epitome of success. However, aside from work, I have little joy. What? If I had your billions, I would be filled with joy. Would you? In the end, wealth is only a fact of life that I'm accustomed to. At this moment, lying on the sick bed and recalling my whole life, I realize that all the recognition and wealth that I took so much pride in have paled and become meaningless in the face of my impending death. You can employ someone to drive the car for you, make money for you, but you cannot have someone bear this sickness for you. He had to carry the illness. Only he. Money couldn't solve that. Material things lost can be found, but there's one thing that can never be found when it is lost. Life. So in a nutshell, more money is not the best solution to worry. All right. Let's do a test quickly. Hands up if you're worried about something. I'll be honest. This is the worry corner because nobody worries here. Okay, worry corner. Hands up if you worry about something. Okay, keep that hand up. Don't let it go. And don't be shy. Keep it up there. I'm standing in front of you all with worries up in the sky here. Do you own a house? Keep your hand up if you own a house. Yo, look at Steve. Steve, does his work. Yeah, that counts. Okay, you can drop the hand. Do you know that the fact that you own a house means that you're extremely wealthy, especially in America right now? You are very wealthy. So you have money, and still you're worried. And I'm not saying this to be judgmental. I've got a lot. I'm blessed beyond measure. But it just proves that you can have money. Like I always joke with old Jason. Jason is a millionaire in my eyes. Millionaire. Yeah, he's got like 100 trucks in his yard. The other day I'm walking through, there's like 11 cars. 80% of them probably don't work, but they're there. They're there. In South Africa, you have one car. You're lucky. Most people don't have cars. So, yeah, I look at this guy. He's like got all of this stuff. And he's blessed. And still, we have so much. We have wealth. And still we worry. So it's not true that money takes care of all of our worries. Worries is a spiritual problem. It's not a physical problem. There's something else. It's a faith problem. So with that all said, that's the introduction. Let's look at what Jesus says. Therefore, after he spoke about money, therefore I tell you. When Jesus says, I tell you, listen to what the guy is saying. He's God in flesh, the Holy Spirit speaking. God is talking to us. Do not worry about your life. Do not worry about it. That's a command. What you will eat or drink or about your body, what you will wear, is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Do not worry means take no thought. That's literally what the Greek means. And isn't that exactly what worry is? It's just thinking. It's not reality. It's thinking. It's what we imagine. It's what we think is going to happen. It's the worst case scenario that we keep on playing out in our minds. Jesus says, do not think like that. Don't worry about what could happen, what should happen, what might happen, and what others think of you, because we worry a lot about what others think of us, and that might be a lesson for another day. Jesus says, don't do it. Don't think like that. Be thankful that you have a body. Be thankful that you have a body and that the Spirit of God is in you, that the breath of life is in you. Get your priorities straight. Now, yes, we hardly ever worry about food or clothing. I'm sure you didn't put up your hand because you worried about your clothes and your food. We'll talk about that in a moment's time. These guys lived in a different world. But we are even more silly than these guys were. They worried about legitimate reasons. When Jesus talks about food and clothing, that's a legitimate worry. We worry about other things. We worry about who will be the next president. We worry about the dead fish in Foster Lake. Did you guys see what happened on Facebook when those fish died in that? It was the end of the world. Our water is dirty. I'm like, dude. Our Foster Lake is brown. Go to Africa, bud. The whole continent is brown. It's not the end of the world if the water is brown. Oh, my tap water, I can't drink it. Welcome to the rest of the world. At least you can go get it in the shop. You got dollars, you can go buy it if you really had to. Really, there are things to really worry about, and then there are things that we worry about. Or the interest on my 401k. Or about blah, blah. I can go on with the list. Let's go verse 26. Look at the birds. Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. Jesus is a brilliant teacher. Let me give you a quick lesson. Chip, chip, he hears the birds here in the tree. Look at them. Let's talk about the birds. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? I found this actually incredible. It's the first time I just thought about it. I put my mind into it and really thought about it. It must be one of the hardest animals on earth to be. a bird. You know, if you're a lion, at least you can walk around and look for an animal, attack it and kill it if you're hungry, right? But if you're a bird, where are you going to get food? What if the earth decides we're not going to produce plants anymore, it's going to be no more seeds? What does that bird do? Oh no, I'm going to start plowing the ground and planting stuff. That's what Jesus is saying. He cannot. A bird cannot provide food for himself. He doesn't have the skill, the intellect, or the ability, or the necessary bodily tools to provide food for himself. Can you imagine how difficult it is to be a bird? If there's one animal on the planet that we can say, okay, buddy, you're allowed to worry. You can worry. It's the bird. Because if it doesn't rain and plants don't produce, there's going to be no seed. Okay, yes, we could say they eat worms, but even that, you cannot go and say, okay, I'm going to start a worm farm. He can't provide worms for himself. He can't provide seeds. He's literally flying around hoping there's food somewhere. Hopefully he doesn't get tired. Hopefully he's able to provide, you know, food for his kids. You know, but he's totally dependent on God. And you know what birds do the whole time? The whole day. The most legitimate animal on planet Earth that can worry. You know what he does the whole day? Who'd like to guess? He sings. The bird sings. The one animal that's got the right to worry permanently, he says, I'm going to praise God. Woohoo! I'm going to sing and make a melody to everybody who comes into contact with me. Because why? Why don't they worry? What if we could talk to God and say, God, why don't the birds worry? Because they need to worry. They need to really worry. And God says, because they trust me. They trust me and they don't go hungry. They are totally dependent on God. God says, well, and look at these birds. Look at how I feed them. And guess what? You're more valuable than they are. You're more valuable to me than a bird. And you think I'm not going to feed you. The problem is not money, ladies and gentlemen. The problem we have is we don't have faith. We don't trust God. That's our problem. That's why we worry. Well, Jesus goes on in verse 27. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? I wish I could sit and listen to Jesus as he taught this because I think he was very sarcastic. He's like, are you stupid? You guys are worried the whole time. Let's just talk about this. Do you think you're going to live longer if you worry? In actual fact, he knew that the answer to this question. It is a known fact today. You can go study it. It's a known fact back then. Worrying doesn't add to your life. It subtracts from your life. Anxiety makes you die earlier. It's a fact. You can go research it. Worry is not good for us. It kills us. It doesn't make our lives better. It makes it worse. And then Jesus goes on to say, and why do you worry about clothes? That makes sense to us, right? Has anybody of us worried about clothes? Okay. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. So Jesus says, okay, we've looked at the birds now. Let's look at the lilies in the field. Yet I tell you, verse 29, that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? And here's the issue. You of little faith. He doesn't say, you of little money. He says, you of little faith. Now, when we read about this, we think, who is worried about clothes? I won't be worried about clothes. And what was interesting for me, and it's also the first time I've really thought about this, but for these guys, you know what their greatest fear was? That a famine would come through the land and there's literally no food. At least in our world today, if there's no food in America or there's some famine, somewhere else in the world there's food and they will ship it to us very easily. It's going to cost us maybe some more, but I mean, in my lifetime, there's never been a famine. For these guys, when there's a plague of locusts coming through town, they take out everything. Everything. Eventually, the only thing you can eat is a locust. And they're also going to run out.
Okay, because everybody's going to eat them. And then when the locusts are gone, what do you eat then? Then there's literally nothing. So when you were living in the first century and you were worried about food, you had a legitimate reason to worry about something important. Because if you don't have food, you die. We don't have that type of worry. And clothing was another big issue for them, a huge issue that I don't think we get. I read up a little bit about the first century and what clothing was like and how much clothing cost. You know that they say a normal tunic in our today's terms would cost between $500 and $1,200 for one. That's what it cost. They didn't have these big fancy machines that we have today that just makes clothing and stuff and these, what do you call those things? You know, they didn't have those machines to quickly make something. Clothing was expensive. They say some of the most luxury clothing, like if you had a tunic that was like maybe silk and purple, could cost more than $20,000 in today's terms. That's the price of a car. Would you pay $500 for the shirt that you have on your back? And what if you only had your set of clothes that you have on now, just the clothes on your back right now, and you paid $500 for it, and you only had one set? Do you think you would be a little bit more, you know, take care of it a little bit better and a little bit more concerned about it? Sure you would. That's what's going on here in this text. And do you think it's a big deal if you don't have clothes? Well, if you live in the PNW, you'd literally die without clothes. Right? You had to live outside there. Number one, the weather. Number two, the humiliation of walking around naked. And it's expensive. And if you go look at the first, if you go look at the Bible and you see what's the first thing? Let's do a test quickly. The story of the Good Samaritan. He gets robbed next to the road. What's the first thing they do? They strip him of his clothes. See, when you robbed somebody in the first century, the first thing you take is the clothes because it's valuable. It's like today stealing your cell phone. Same thing. The first thing you steal is the cell phone or the bag, what do you call them? Purse, yes. So they steal his clothes. Why did they divide up Jesus' clothes while he was being crucified? Because the material is expensive. That's why it was a big deal. I always read that. I was like, why would they take his clothes, man? It's like blood and rags. And no, because it's valuable. Why was it such a big deal in the Old Testament when they take somebody, when somebody's upset, what does it say? He tore his robes. Why would you tear your robes? Man, that's meaningless. Because it's expensive, and you're showing the gravity of how upset you are. Now, in today's terms, we would say, when you're upset, one of the stupid things I've seen people do is they take their phone and smash it into the ground. That's similar to tearing your robes or throwing your phone into the sea because you're so upset at whatever has happened. So, it's not silly for these people to worry about clothes. We just have to do the interpretation and ask the question, what is the same sort of level of things in our lives? I'll give you examples. Maybe housing could be part of it. And I think one of the big problems for us, certainly for me, is medical insurance. If we could take this text and Jesus was standing in the 21st century with us here in Sweet Home and he said, do not worry about, instead of clothes, what would he have said? I honestly think he would have said things like, do not worry about your future, do not worry about housing, God will make sure you've got a place to sleep, do not worry about being warm, that you have what you need, do not worry about your medical expenses, because God will provide. It's easy for us to read this text and think, yeah, I'm fine with clothes, but I think it extends to all of our needs as God's people. Insurance on cars, all of these things that are so necessary in the world where we live in order to just survive normally. And the message of Jesus is this: I clothe the lilies, I make them beautiful, and they live only for a season, and then they are burnt in a pile. But you are an eternal being. Will I not take care of you and make sure that you have what you need? And the key to all of this is what? Faith. Faith is trust. Trust God.
Trust Him with your housing. Trust Him with your medical concerns. Trust Him with your financial needs. Trust Him with it all. He'll take care of you. And then Jesus goes on to say in verse 31, so, like pause, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Whew, for the pagans run after all these things. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. That's loaded. Listen carefully. Jesus is not saying, hey, it's not a good idea to worry. He says, stop doing it. Do not do it. It's a command from Jesus Christ. Stop it. Two reasons. Number one, because you are acting like a pagan. In actual fact, the Greek says that they seek it. They run after it. Food and clothes. They do everything they can to get to it. It's like they worship it. All they need. It's what they worry about day and night. And he says, listen carefully, that's what people do who have no God that they trust in. Don't act like you have a God who doesn't care about you. Don't act like you have a God that won't feed you and provide whatever is necessary. That's what you're doing if you worry. The pagans crave and desire after all these things because they do not believe in Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. The second thing, second reason is this: God knows what you need. Jesus says, stop doing it because you're not a pagan. Number two, stop worrying because God knows what you need. The text calls him your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father knows exactly what you need. So the pagan, he craves and he worries. But the godly, he trusts. So, what is Jesus saying so far in the words of Bobby McFerrin? And to be honest with you, I'll go listen to these two songs. Okay, I can't remember if there's any bad words in there, but I just remember the cool words. You guys remember Bobby McFerrin? He wrote that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Such a cool song. What about Bob Marley and his song, Three Little Birds? Don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is going to be all right. You know, if you worry, just go listen to some of those songs. That's what Jesus is saying. Learn to trust God with your life. So far, he has just given us don'ts, don'ts, don'ts. But he's not done yet because we know this verse. In verse 33, same context, but seek first his kingdom. Don't worry, seek his kingdom. Don't worry, seek his righteousness. First. And all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus is not saying we shouldn't be concerned about what we eat and what we wear. He's just saying that's not our first priority. So yes, work on getting the food. Work on getting the clothing, but don't worry about it. God will provide it. He's not saying don't work. He says don't worry. And there's a difference. But first priority is seek his kingdom. Don't seek what the pagans seek. The pagans seek food and clothes. Don't run around seeking money. Seek what you need and seek God. But seek God first. They worry and they work day and night in fear over their needs being met. They wake up in the morning and say, the pagans, I need to find money. I need to find work. I need to get food. I need to do this or that. That's what the pagan does. And many Christians behave like this. That's the pagan's first priority when he wakes up in the morning. But Jesus says, seek him first. His kingdom, God's things, eternal things, spiritual things, soul things. Start your day with prayer, not worry. Start your day with faith, not fear. His righteousness means his ways, being like God, morality, integrity, heavenly wisdom. Focus more on doing what is right than doing what will give you money. It's more important to focus on spiritual things and what is right than it is to focus on getting money. If you do this, if your priorities are right, God first, His way first, then God will provide everything else to you as well. Remember David said, I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the children begging for bread. Trusting God is our answer to worries. Trusting God is the answer to have your needs met. Jesus closes off with this, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Take no thought of tomorrow. It has enough problems of its own to deal with tomorrow. Deal with today. Deal with now. Deal with what is in front of you right now at this moment. Live day by day. Let me conclude. Worry doesn't take away tomorrow's troubles. It takes away today's peace. Don't worry about the things you can't change, because you can't change them. So go change them. Don't worry about it, just change it. Don't worry about the things you can't change, because you can't change it. So why worry about it? Whatever is going to happen will happen, whether we worry about it or not. Walt Disney said, I think Walt Disney was probably not a bad guy, but Disney is really bad now. So we'll take his quote. Why worry? If you've done the best you can, worrying won't make it any better. Epictetus said, man is not worried by real problems so much as by his imagined anxieties about real problems. So much of the things we worry about probably is never going to even become a reality. And lastly, worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. Carrying 2 days at once. That's really foolish. I like this one. It's a rocking chair. Why worry when you can trust? It is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do but doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't. Let's be honest. Worrying gets you nowhere. In the foyer over there, I've put some brown paper bags. And I've written on the outside, in my ugly handwriting, Jehovah Jireh. Because you know there's a few names for God in the Old Testament. Jehovah Jireh is one of them. God provides. If you want to. I was thinking about giving everybody one, but then I thought, some people might just throw away the bag or forget about it. Because that's what I do. Sometimes I just forget stuff. If you want to work on this thing, this, do I trust God or do I worry and serve money? Which one am I going to do? If you worry about that, take one of those bags. You go hang it up on the back of your kitchen door. And every time you worry about something, you write it on a piece of paper. You go on your knees and you pray about it. Then you take that piece of paper and you go throw it into that worry bag that's hanging behind your kitchen door. Take your worry, give it to God. Then you decide whatever's in that paper bag, you won't worry about anymore. If you find yourself worrying about it, go take it out again. Because you haven't given it to God. You've taken it back from him, so go take it out again. And you save that somewhere. And then test yourself and see how often you take your worries, you give it to God, but then you take it back again. And carry it yourself. And I'd love to hear back from you how that goes. I'm going to do it myself as well. Every time you take it out, you remind yourself again, oh, Mampara, I'm worrying again about the stuff that I'm supposed to give to God. Maybe you will leave it in there and get it right. And so a week from now, you go open the bag again, and you go look at all the stuff that you did worry about and see if any of it has changed. And maybe God might just teach us a lesson that he actually does take care of our needs. Let's test him. I don't think he's fearful of that at all. Live by faith and trust him with everything.